day that he has given to us, this nice, brisk, cool day. A couple of things. Remember, we were having our Hangout Advisory Board meeting this morning, and because we have reinstituted Bible class, we'll just meet immediately following Bible class. So those of you who are at all interested in learning a little bit more and helping out or contributing in some way, please join us for that. We've got some exciting things in store, a partnership in a sense with IFM and United Way in helping distribute food to those who are in need of it, our young people and so forth. So stick with us for that. Midweek communion, our Wednesday services. We've had a couple of folks ask, so we are adding a communion individual tray to our Wednesday morning services as well. Some of those folks who were a little bit more immunocompromised than others were asking, and so that is available now on Wednesdays. So those folks who were thinking about joining us then but were a little worried, we're ready to go with that. Bible class today, Ezekiel. We're picking up the book of Ezekiel, starting some introductory notes on that. So join us in the social hall for that. And if not this morning, Tuesday evening, our Wine and the Word time slot, essentially Tuesday at 7, we will be meeting at the Rogers residence out on Anvil Road for that, because they have a much more stable internet connection than we do here, so that we'll be able to Zoom in whoever would like to join us that way. Acolytes. Some point here pretty soon, we're gonna put the acolytes back to work, at least for lighting the candles and things like that. Let's try to get some sort of getting back on track. So look for that. Check your acolyte schedule, acolytes. That's coming up. So we got that. In our prayers today, in addition to those who are in the grace notes and so forth, we are praying for a friend of the Broadbeck family, June, who has been diagnosed with cancer. Also, Stephanie's uncle, Brian, who also has been diagnosed with cancer. So we pray for both of them today as well. It is October 11, and October 11 is a special day for a couple of people. Bob Carr, 97 today, and Elsa Gray is a little bit behind him. She's only 8, but happy birthday to both of you. Kind of the, y'all are not quite the ends, as it were, the opposite ends, but great to have you with us this morning as we gather to receive what the Lord has to give in his wedding feast. The service is before you. We'll follow that this morning. Let us sing. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Again, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son and sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. Again, he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. The king was angry, and he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go, therefore, to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you can find.' And those servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to look at the guests, he saw there a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, "Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, "Bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." This is the gospel of the Lord. Today's gospel text makes it quite clear that one should be pretty careful about the way one dresses for worship. Not everyone would agree that this has to do with dressing for church, but that may be because they think that this wedding feast refers only to our Lord's return on the last day. But this text doesn't only refer to the great feast of the last day. It also refers to the great feast of eternal life that you enjoy here on earth, here in worship, when you gather to hear the words of our Lord, to receive the sacrament of our Lord's body and blood set on his altar. Now, sure, our worship and the sacrament is only a tiny foretaste of the much greater feast that is to come, but it is a feast nonetheless. We know this because Jesus says man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And "I am the bread of life. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." And the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. On top of that, John the Baptist says that the kingdom of heaven is not just a future place. John says, right before Jesus' baptism, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven has come to you and still comes to you in the person of Jesus, the living Son of God. So that's why today's gospel has as much to do with our worship today as it does with our future in eternity with God. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a wedding feast, Jesus says. And you know that because in Divine Service Setting 1, what do we sing? "This is the feast of victory for our God." So that's why this gospel text makes it clear that one should be very careful about the way one dresses for worship. The king saw a man there who had no wedding garment, and the king was not happy. In the same way, your heavenly Father is happy with you only when you are dressed in a very specific way. And if you aren't dressed that way, don't be surprised if God does to you what the king does in today's gospel. The king said to the attendants, "Bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So the question is, what is the right thing to wear for worship? Or what should you wrap around yourselves that will prevent our God and Father from becoming so angry with you that he would cast you out of his heavenly feast and into the outer darkness? Well, you won't find it in your closet. I mean, certainly every Christian should think about the way he or she dresses on a Sunday. I mean, don't dress to impress your fellow worshipers, but don't ever allow your clothes to prevent you from coming to church. Each Christian should think about the way he dresses on a Sunday morning, doing the best with what he has, simply because each Christian comes here to be with Jesus. I mean, if you'd want to dress a certain way to meet the president or to meet the queen or someone else, how much more would you consider your clothing when you gather before your Lord Jesus? Still, if you want to know what the right thing is for you to wear to worship, what sort of clothing you can put on to avoid your Heavenly Father's anger, you're not going to find it in the closet. You will find your answer, though, by looking in the baptismal font. Because there, at the font, is where your heavenly King collects you from the highways and the byways, and he calls you into the eternal feast of salvation in Christ. There, at the font, is where your heavenly Father washes away all of your sins and purifies you in the blood of Jesus, his Son. There, at the font, is where your heavenly Father takes the forgiveness that Jesus earned for all people and makes it yours, so that you may know and never doubt that you are a worthy guest at his banquet table. There, at the font, your God and your King gives you your wedding clothing. Just as St. Paul said to the Galatians, "For as many of you who were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." And so there, at the font, God clothes you more richly than he clothes the flowers of the field, giving you, as Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, a splendor greater than Solomon in all of his glory. So there, at the font, God your Father restores you, his prodigal child, by giving you a new robe, the best robe, to wear to the feast. And what a feast it is. Isaiah saw it. He saw this, a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well-refined, where carbs and cholesterol do not count. But even that description doesn't cover the magnificence of the feast to come. They tell us that winter is on the way, that at some point it's supposed to get cold and wet and snowy. And when those days come and you go outside, you put on that jacket and you zip it up and you cram your hands in the pockets. Because why wouldn't you? That jacket protects you. It comforts you. So use your baptism the same way. If you're going to throw on a jacket when it's cold outside, how much more should you want to wear the garment of your baptism for protection and comfort from God's wrath over your sins? Jesus said, the king saw a man who had no wedding garment, and he said to him, "Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Not you. You are the baptized of Christ. You are the honored guests at the wedding feast of God's Son. So it doesn't matter where you were before. It doesn't matter what road you were dragged in from to come to the wedding feast. What matters is that Almighty God, the King, has gathered you in, that he has given you your wedding garment. Almighty God, the King, has given you your place at the table of our Lord's body and blood, and God will one day welcome you into the greater, the eternal feast that is yet to come. And until that glorious day comes, let us rejoice in the gifts that he gives freely for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.